the setting of the book of Hebrews is the children of God are surrounded by unbelievers and their influence. And throughout the book, these children of God are warned against drifting from the things that they had heard, disbelieving the voice of God, warned against coming short of the promises of God, warned against leaving the elementary principles, thinking lightly of truth, becoming discouraged and drained spiritually. They're warned against departing from the way of God. These were all very real dangers to these Hebrew saints, and no less today. They are very real dangers. You see, these Hebrew saints had witnessed and were witnessing many who had made a profession of faith turning back into Judaism. And it is in view of these dangers and circumstances that the book of Hebrews was written. The purpose was to stimulate these saints, to embolden them to persevere in the life that God had called them to live. The arrangement of the book is to admonish, to exhort, to motivate, to encourage the child of God, not to remain stationary in their spirituality, but to not to lose heart, but to be continually advancing spiritually. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews establishes the theme of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He makes Jesus Christ the main feature, the focal point of the book. If the dangers are going to be overcome, the preeminence of Christ must be firmly established in hearts. And that is still true today. Such requires faith. And that brings us to Hebrews 10. The writer issues an admonition. In verse 35, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." That's not self-confidence, that's confidence in God, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience or endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back, who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And this, of course, just flows into Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is just an amplification of what we just read. It's an illustration of the faith that these Hebrews stood in need of. The 11th chapter of Hebrews speaks of the impact and the power and the force and the workings, the achievements of faith. And we're going to speak this morning on the life and energy of faith. Just as Brother Mark just sang, the reason Job could say in the midst of trial, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord, was because of faith. Because he had faith. And we want to take the message from Hebrews 11. Just want to give an overview of Hebrews chapter 11, where we see this faith so plainly pictured. First of all, faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's many misnomers concerning faith. Faith is not merely mental assent to truth, though faith does give mental assent to truth, but mental assent to truth by itself is not faith. Faith is not merely positive thinking, though faith will certainly lead to positive thinking. Faith is not merely a hunch that is followed, though faith will cause you to follow whatever you place your faith in. Faith is not merely hoping for the best, not merely a feeling of optimism, though it will fill you with hope, and it will fill you with optimism. Faith is not ignorance. Faith is not blindness to circumstances or surroundings, but faith sees beyond circumstances and surroundings. Faith is not merely experience, though faith will give you many experiences. Faith is not contrary to what God has said. It's not contrary to who God is. Faith, from Hebrews 11 and verse 1, notice now faith is. Faith is. Those two words, faith is, declares that faith is a present reality. Faith is. Now, the faith we're talking about is supernatural. It's given by God. Concerns spiritual matters. But though faith is supernatural, it's real. It's a reality. It's a present reality. Faith is. It is a present actuality. Faith is. It's for everyday life. You get up tomorrow, those words will still be there. Faith is. Faith is. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what our difficulties, faith is. And he goes on and he tells us what faith is. First of all, again, those two words, faith is, declares the reality of faith. This isn't the imagination. It's something that is real. Faith. He goes on to tell us faith is the. Something very specific. Faith is something very specific. He says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice that faith begins with things hoped for, which speaks of a longing, which speaks of a longing for something better, things hoped for. The word substance has reference to that which is material, conveying the idea of solidity, conveying the idea of meaningfulness, significance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, faith makes the spiritual to an individual material. It makes it material to the individual. Faith gives substance to the spiritual. Faith causes the spiritual to be a present reality to the individual. Faith causes the spiritual to have meaning and significance to the individual. Faith is being able to stand upon the invisible as if it were material. Faith enables the individual to lay hold. Again, it's substance. You can lay hold of substance. It's material. Faith gives the individual the ability to lay hold of that which is invisible to the human eye. To lay hold of that which is spiritual. Faith gives the objects of hope present in actual being in our hearts. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith does not look upon spiritual facts coldly, but faith makes them lively and real to the individual. Faith will never cause you to read the Word of God and look upon biblical facts and without feeling and in a cold manner. Faith is substance. He goes on in verse 1 to tell us faith is evidence. It is the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence has to do with proof that convinces. Proof that convinces. Faith is proof. Faith convinces us of the spiritual. So faith furnishes proof. Faith furnishes proof so that one is assured of the reality and certainty of the spiritual. In other words, faith makes the spiritual to be fact to the individual. To the individual. Genesis 1 verse 1 is a statement of fact. It is a statement of fact. But it is faith that makes it a fact to me. It doesn't make it fact, but it makes it a fact to me. It makes it a fact to you. That's why it is very difficult to discuss what the Bible says with a people of no faith. You look at it entirely different. But faith makes a spiritual fact to us. It doesn't make it fact. It already is fact. But it makes it fact to us. So faith gives present reality to the spiritual. Faith is belief. We see that in verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, faith recognizes and acknowledges God. Faith recognizes and acknowledges that God is. Faith is absolutely persuaded. Faith is absolutely convinced that God is. Faith is absolutely persuaded and convinced of everything that God declares Himself to be. You see, faith anchors the soul to God. You can have knowledge by itself. You can have biblical knowledge, a head knowledge, that God is omnipresent, that God is omniscient, that God is omnipotent, without having your heart anchored to those things. It's faith that anchors our heart to God. So faith is not just mere knowledge, but it makes it real. And it anchors our heart to God. Faith not only makes the spiritual so real, so meaningful and significant to the individual that they can lay hold of it. It also fills them with persuasion and conviction. But it goes beyond that also. Faith is operative. It is operative in the individual. That is, it's working. Faith is operative upon the will. Faith is operative upon the character of the individual. In other words, faith is not passive. It's not a passive thing. It's active, it's energetic, it's vigorous. It's a fruitful force. Faith. So we go into Hebrews chapter 11 and we see this faith. He defines it for us. And then we see faith in action. The words by faith occur 17 times in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The word through faith is used 5 times. So we have a total of 22 times where we read by faith or through faith. A total of 22 times when we are told that faith is the power and the force behind an action. That faith is the spring of an action. This chapter reveals the life and the energy of faith. Notice in verse 2, or verse 3, through faith we understand. Faith gives understanding. Through faith we are able to comprehend, we are able to grasp, we are able to appreciate and recognize spiritual truths. Faith. Through faith we understand. The world does not understand a lot of things concerning the Word of God. It takes faith. Through faith. Then he goes on and he mentions some of the accomplishments and feats of faith. Throughout the chapter, we have record of ordinary men and women who were enabled to do the extraordinary by the means of faith. Is a record of men and women who made a difference in life by the means of faith. It is a record of men and women who were a blessing and an encouragement, and those who have been a testimony throughout the ages to the children of God, all by the means of faith. These men and women, as we often have to remind ourselves of the men and women of the Bible, are like us. They have sinful natures, which means that they had natural inclinations towards sin. And they had inclinations away from God. They had temptations. They had spiritual battles and struggles. They were men and women who had flaws. Their faith was not perfect. No one has perfect faith. And so it is with these men and women. Their faith was not perfect. They were men and women of flaws. They were men and women who had limitations just like us. Just like us, they had worldly matters to attend to. They had earthly responsibilities. They had earthly burdens, earthly concerns, and trials, and difficulties, and troubles, and distractions. And as you read through, you see that these were men and women who lived in times of wickedness and degeneracy. They lived in times of indifference. They lived in times of coldness toward the things of God. They lived in the midst of much opposition. And in spite of it all, by and through faith, they lived triumphantly. They lived victoriously. These are men and women who lived in another dimension other than that which can be touched, tasted, and felt by the human senses. Our life is very limited. If we live in the dimension of what can be touched, tasted, and felt with our human senses, faith takes you beyond that. Faith enables you to live in an entirely different dimension, an entirely different world. Here are men and women who took God at His word. And by faith rose above human reason. Faith will raise you above human reason. Because faith looks beyond human reason. These were men and women who took God at His word, and as a result, they rose above the difficulties. They rose above the circumstances. They rose above the opposition that they were facing. Faith caused the matters of God to be substance to these individuals in their circumstances. Faith enabled them to lay hold of the things of God. To hold on to the matters of God. These are men and women who were firmly persuaded and absolutely convinced concerning the matters of God, which enabled them to walk out of step with the inclinations of the flesh and the world. Anyone can walk in step with the world. That's not hard to do. That's not difficult. But we are to walk out of step with the world. We're to walk out of step with the inclinations of our flesh. That requires faith. Faith will enable us to walk out of step with the world. And we ought to be out of step with the world. So in verses 4 through 11, we read of five individuals. Abel in verse 4. Enoch in verse 5. Noah in verse 7. Abraham in verses 8 through 10. And Sarah in verse 11. And we read those words by faith. By faith. By faith, Abel took God at His word and worshiped as he was instructed and offered to God what was required by faith. By faith, Enoch was raised above the world. By faith, Enoch was able to live above the thinking and the philosophies and the lust and the pleasures and the pursuits of his time. Because of faith, the world could not hold Enoch down. He was translated. He was carried away. Here's a man who lived victorious over the pull and force of the world. He was a man who did not get stuck, and he did not become defined by his time, by faith. Enoch was above that. And his faith enabled him to have a testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah was moved to reverence God. And through faith, he was persuaded and convinced of that which was highly improbable. And he obeyed. And he was separated from the world. And he had endurance. He preached on, though no one followed. He obeyed at all cost. He did this by faith. By faith, Abraham had prompt obedience. By faith, Abraham was ready to be separated from home and kindred. By faith, Abraham was committed to God. Notice in verses 8 through 10, some words. He obeyed. He went out. He sojourned. He dwelt in tent and tabernacles. He looked for a city. He did all of these things by faith. We read that through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. In other words, she experienced a miracle in her life. In the force of the humanly impossible, it says that she judged God to be faithful, who had promised. That's faith. So we have five individuals in those verses. And then in verses 13 through 16, we have a summary given of the faith of these five individuals, of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And notice some things that it says concerning these individuals. These, referring back to these five, they all died in faith. There's no better way to die than in faith. And there's no worse way to die than in unbelief. These all died in faith. They seen things that were far off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. Again, these things became substance. And they were able, even in their dying hours, to embrace these things. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Verse 14, they sought a country. And they were mindful of that country. They were seeking something that the world was not seeking. And they were mindful of what the world was unmindful of. That's faith. And they desired a better country. And then we come to Abraham again. Verses 17 through 19, we see by faith. By faith, Abraham. And you read here how Abraham was willing to lay Isaac down. He so realized the faithfulness and the ability and the love of God for him that he was willing to relinquish all his desires. His desires were tied up in Isaac. And all his dreams and plans and hopes. He was willing to relinquish it all, believing that God was able to resurrect Isaac. And then in verses 20 through 22, we read of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. By faith, Jacob and Joseph were men who were strengthened from above in their dying hour. In their dying hour. I believe perhaps the most difficult thing is to die. The struggle that you and I don't know anything about because we haven't been there yet. But I assure you there is a struggle between the forces of hell and God in the hour of death. I'm talking about God's people. But here we read of three, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, who received strength from above in their dying hour. By faith, we read that the parents of Moses were fearless in time of terrible persecution. Verses 24 through 28, we read by faith Moses. And notice seven acts prompted by faith in the life of Moses. Verse 24. He refused something because of faith. He rejected something. He refused and rejected what most men would die to have. But faith enabled him to reject it. It is faith that rejects this world. You cannot live separated and you cannot reject the world without faith. He goes on and says, choosing. Verse 25. Faith makes choices. The choices we make tells much about our faith or lack of. Tells much about our degree of faith. It says much about how real the spiritual is to us, how material it is to us, how meaningful it is to us. That's all faith. Verse 26, we read the word esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He esteemed certain things, counted them as precious. He had respect concerning certain things because of his faith. We live in a day when there's very little respect for the spiritual. Why is that? Because there's no faith. By faith he forsook. He not only rejected, he forsook. He got out of there. He forsook Egypt. And then we read that he endured. How did he endure? As seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. And then we read in verse 28 that he kept. Faith will cause you to keep some things. So we see, again, the energy, the life and the energy of faith. He goes on to say in verse 29, by faith Israel crossed the Red Sea. In verse 30, they conquered Jericho, which of course was a symbol of the enemy's strength and power. We come to verse 31 and we read it, by faith Rahab. She stood firm in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a threat. And she had a self-denying heart for the people of God. It was all by faith. And then in verses 33 through verse 35, who through faith conquered, subdued, defeated, and overcame kingdoms. They wrought or they worked righteousness. They obtained promises. That is, they came into possession of the promises of God. It's one thing to know in our head the promises of God. It's something entirely different to come into possession of them. That is faith. By faith they obtained the promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant or courageous in fight. They, by faith, experienced the miraculous. And they, by faith, lived the life of victory. Now, reading through verses 33 through verse 38, you notice some words which tell us of under what circumstances they accomplished these great feats. Notice verse 33. We have the mouths of lions. Verse 34, the violence of fire. Verse 34, the edge of the sword. We have weakness. We have fight. Verse 35, we see tortured. Verse 36, we have trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. We have bonds and imprisonments. Verse 37, we see they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. This tells us the circumstances under which they exercised faith. These were not easy times. These were not pleasant times. But these men and women, by faith, rose above and saw the miraculous in their lives. If the only time you and I can be happy is when things are going our way, we have no faith. Faith is what gets you through those times that you wish weren't. Faith. Reading through Hebrews 11, we see a people who in very adverse circumstances and in humanly impossible situations, by faith, and faith always does this, they anticipated God to work and provide. That's faith. Faith anticipates God to work. No matter how bad it is, faith anticipates God. Human reasoning anticipates doom and gloom. Faith anticipates God to show up. That's faith. So we can measure our faith in the degree of our anticipation of God. How do we measure our anticipation of God? Well, if you anticipate something, you look for it. So how much we look for God shows the degree of our anticipation for God. But faith always anticipates God to work. But it goes further than that. God's always working. We don't always see it. Sometimes people will say, well, God isn't doing anything about it. Oh, yes, He is. You just don't see it. But you still believe. Whether you can see it or not, you still believe. That's faith. A people, what you have here in Hebrews 11 is a people who lived their belief in God. A people who were changed from the inside out. Faith will change us. Faith will change the life that we live. Here was a people who leaned upon God despite their natural feelings. We have feelings that are not always right. Faith will raise us above our natural feelings. Faith will raise us above adverse circumstances. Faith will raise us above fierce opposition. Here was a people who trusted God even when they did not see the end result. Faith doesn't have to see the end result to believe. Faith believes anyway. God may promise, make a promise. You may not see it in your lifetime. But faith keeps on believing. And faith keeps on anticipating God. In other words, faith doesn't give up. What you have here in Hebrews 11 is a people who were willing and able to wait for God. One of the most difficult things is to wait. Faith has the ability to wait for God. And as it's waiting, it's anticipating God to work. Faith. Faith, as you read Hebrews 11, you see it's not something that looks backwards, but it's something that looks forward. Again, it's an anticipation. You see here a people who continued, a people who endured even when the promise was not realized. You see a people who believed the impossible. And through faith, they blazed forth the glory of God. They showed forth who God was. And because of their faith, they were mystifying to the world. You think of Noah. Or think of Enoch walking with God. His life was a mystery to the world. You think of Noah out there building a boat. His life was a mystery to the world. You think of Abraham. Abraham, why are you leaving? God told me to. Where are you going? I don't know. That's mystifying to the world. Faith, a life lived by faith, is a mystery to the world. If the world understands everything about us, it's because we're like them. But faith mystifies the world. Again, as Brother Mark was singing, Job. There is a man who lived a life that baffled Satan. His life not only baffled his three friends, his life baffled Satan. That's faith. That's faith. A people, what we see here in Hebrews 11 is a people whose roots were not here. Their roots were with God. Their heart was anchored to God. All the life and energy of faith. What we read in Hebrews 11 is a faith that has energy and vibrancy and force. The power to go beyond. The power to rise above whatever it is that's in the way. Enables us to press on through the most fierce winds. When you have no human strength left, when you have no mental strength left, faith keeps on. Faith keeps you going. It's with Gideon and his men. Faint, yet pursuing. Physically, they were exhausted. Mentally, they were exhausted. But there was a power within them that kept them going. Faith. All the life and energy of faith. It is a faith that keeps us pressing on in the will of God even when we can't see the way. Faith believes against all hope. When all hope is gone, faith still believes. It is a faith that knows God can furnish a table in the wilderness. God can create a mountain or create a river on the mountaintop. Faith knows that God is. Faith knows that God can. And faith anticipates God. Faith gives stability. It is a faith that believes the impossible. It is a faith that keeps us near to God. It is faith that keeps our hearts tender. You get sunk and you get stuck in unbelief, and it won't be long, your heart will be hard. It's faith. Seeing God. Seeing the reality of what this book says. When these things become real, the heart is tender. Faith. So here we are, living in a world that seeks to pull us in every possible way. But you and I, as the children of God, do not have to become victims of the world. The saddest life of a child of God is when a child of God becomes a victim of the world. Faith will keep us from becoming a victim of the world's pursuits, the world's reasonings. You see, we do not have to be defeated by the world and our times, but it takes faith. We do not have to be despondent. We do not have to be in despair. We do not have to be demoralized or disheartened. And any time we begin to feel those ways, we need to do an inventory check on faith. Because therein lies the problem. We are to be a people of faith. And these before us in Hebrews chapter 11... we're absolutely persuaded and convinced that God is. We see in Hebrews 12 verse 1 that they are witnesses. They witness to us. They bear witness of the life of faith. And these in Hebrews chapter 11 say to you and I today, live your now occupied with God. That's what they say to us. Live your now occupied with God. That's faith. And the end result of that is you live the victory that God has given us. God has given us victory. Yet most live in defeat. We need faith to live the victory. Again, it's often said, read the end of the book and we win. That's true. But that looks at it as future victory. And there is future victory, no doubt. But these aren't days of defeat. These are days to live that victory. And the way we do that is faith. Faith. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.